This coming Thursday, barring some unforeseen calamity, millions of Americans, Christian and non-Christian alike, will take a day off from work and will gather with family and friends for, at least most of them, a sumptuous meal. And over a turkey at the table, no doubt, there will be many moms and dads who will say to their little children, "So what are you thankful for?" And the childish answers will range from things like from candy to toys to parents to, and they're all kind of things that are related to tangible pleasures and enjoyments. And then some grown-ups will ask or be asked the same question. So what are you thankful for? And in a markedly similar fashion, while their answers will be broader and much more grown up in scope, they will be similar in nature. Generally, things related to tangible pleasures and enjoyments. And today, I would think that probably many preachers, as they come to the pulpit, they will say to their congregation, so we have to stop being so ungrateful, and we have to start being more thankful, and let's do better than we did last year. Kind of as though this idea of being thankful is something we do, and we're not doing it well enough, and so shape up. And let's do better. I look out across you, the congregation here this morning, and I think this of you. I'm thinking of you as I say this. I think thinking Christians ponder. Isn't there some aspect of thanksgiving that is more profound and reaches deeper for those of us who know Christ? Something that transcends a national holiday, when Christians and non-Christians alike pause and express, I'll call natural gratitude for pleasures and enjoyments. And that's kind of a rhetorical question. I think all of us have this sense within. I could tell that this morning already in the praise and worship and in the expressions that. By the way, I love those times when. We have, for those of you who weren't here for the praise and worship time this morning, Brother Joe asked us to, he called it popcorn praise. You know, just the kind of things that just pop out or pop up and you want to share, you know, what lies on your heart. I love hearing those kind of expressions because as a pastor, it demonstrates that God is alive and well and working in your hearts. And I love to hear those expressions of how God is at work in your life. But all this this question I posed is, it's kind of a rhetorical question, because yes, we know that there is something that transcends just a national holiday that is declared by our president, that it's a day that's set aside when we cease from our labors and we eat a good meal and gather with family and friends, and we tell each other, remind each other that we should be more thankful. There is something much broader in scope, much deeper than it. This national holiday that's declared by our president. And so I would say the answer is yes. The fruit of our lips on Thanksgiving Day and every day should be gracious gratitude from overflowing from thankful hearts. There are several phrases in here which I am attempting to emphasize because they are then the key ideas in the rest of the message here this morning. The fruit of our lips is the title of the message. And that comes from Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. This is not the text. It's kind of just a lead into the message. But this is the text where the prior verse says, "For we have here no continuing city, but we seek one to come." And then verse 15, "By him therefore," that's by Christ, "by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And that idea of the fruit of our lips is related, I think, to the first fruits, that concept where God's people will bring the first and the best of whatever is produced by their lives and bring it to God. And so he says, bring the fruit of your, the sacrificial praise is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. And I think this is noteworthy that the following verse says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not." It's more than the words we say, but to do good and communicate, forget not. For with, remember, we're talking about sacrifice, the sacrifice of praise. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. The ESV reads like this: "Do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." So I bring up this passage to kind of lay down, and then I want to turn to the text, by the way, is in Colossians 1 and 2, some verses from chapter 1 and then also a few verses from chapter 2. What I want to do first is to start by laying down a scriptural basis for the 3 points of this sermon. Remember that the fruit of our lips on Thanksgiving Day and every day should be gracious gratitude. That's one key phrase. Overflowing, another key idea, from thankful hearts. So the 3 points that we want to cover this morning is lives that are overflowing with thankfulness. And then we want to consider natural gratitude versus gracious gratitude. Natural gratitude as compared to gracious gratitude. And then what is the fruit of our lips? Those are the three concepts we will be talking about here this morning. So open your Bibles to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 verses... Actually, the text is verses 3 through 14, and I'm debating about should we take time to read the entire text. I think what I'll do is I'll spend a few moments giving an overview, and then we'll read several of the key verses here. But think about, put it in this context. Paul is writing here to the people who were living in the city of Colossae. Colossae was a city in the broad valley. Actually, not shouldn't say broad, not so wide valley, but for example, there are three cities that are kind of in a triangle here. Laodicea is one of them, is one on the one bank of the Meander River. And then as you, from Laodicea, you could look across and see the white chalk cliffs, or the calcium cliffs of the city of Hierapolis. And then when you look down the valley, on a clear day, you can see a mountain at the base which the city of Colossae was. So it's, these three cities were all in the general area. And if you read, I think Colossians says, and read it in Hierapolis as well. And so the same man was responsible for evangelizing this whole area. His name was Epaphras. So he was. Think of here as Epaphras. And Epaphras came to Colossae, to this city that did not know that Jesus was the Messiah. And he came and taught the Jews and the Gentiles that Jesus was the Messiah. And so they changed the pattern of their lives. And they were converted from paganism to follow the one true God. So it's in this context that Paul is then writing to them this letter. So think of this in terms of how their lives were changed. So those of you who are able, let's stand together. And as I read, maybe I will. I'm just going to read these verses 3 through 14. And I'm reading in the King James Version. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world. It came unto them there in Colossae, there in that valley, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. Again, that idea of fruit. As it doeth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye have also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with knowledge, the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And here's this idea again, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And now, in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You may be seated. Picture people living in Colossae before they heard the gospel and knew God, and then they were converted from their evil ways. Now, what were they formerly? Paul describes this, and there's this trilogy here of descriptors of a sinful man or sinful humanity. Let's think about the breadth and scope of this. Is in verse 21. And you who were first sometimes alienated. Alienated means separated. You used to be separated from God, and you were enemies in your mind. Now, I'm not sure what "in your mind" all means, but you were enemies in your mind. So you were separated from God. You were His enemy. Maybe it speaks to, from our perspective, we were His enemy. And it says, by wicked works. So they were alienated, they were enemies, and they were practicing wicked works. Yet He hath now reconciled. So what were their lives like formerly? Those three things. What are they like now? Chapter 2, verse 7. Abounding with thanksgiving. That word abounding, it means, I think the NIV says overflowing with thanksgiving. And I don't have a glass of water up here. I'm not the kind of preacher that drinks water while he's, I don't need any, Sam. I always don't, because I don't want you to sit there doing nothing while I'm drinking water. It doesn't feel right. But if I had a glass of water and I think Brother Mark had once gave us this lesson, where if I had a glass of water and it was full and someone bumped into me, it would, you know what would happen with the glass? It would overflow. What would come out of that glass? Whatever's in there. And that's the idea here, that we should be, as we go out and about in our lives and people bump into us, not on Sunday morning, okay? Let's rule out 10:30 to 12:30 on Sunday morning, but other times when people bump into us and something spills out, you know what spills out is what's within. And so if we are out and about interacting with our culture, with the people that we interact with, that we meet with, that we work with, and so on, and if they bump into us and what spills out of us is evidence that we are alienated from God, that we are His enemies, and that we're practicing wicked works, it's because that's what's within us, and it just like overflows. And what Paul is saying is that since you have been changed, when people bump into you, what should bump out of you is you're overflowing with what? Thankfulness. So what is it about thankfulness that is such a key that you should be, instead of being overflowing with these other things that you used to be, that you should now be overflowing with thankfulness? So that's the idea that we want to dive into here this morning. The word that is translated in the King James as abounding is the same that the Greek word, to those of you that care about such things, the Greek word is parisiou. And I'm just pronouncing it kind of as you phonetically look at that. You know, I never know for sure. But the idea, if you look at the description in the Strong's, it says to superabound, enough and to spare. These are the thoughts. To superabound, enough and to spare, over and above. It's from the same root word that is used in John 10:10. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That it would superabound, that it would there be more than enough. It is a distinctive mark of a Christian to be thankful. And maybe because we've heard that so often, it will be helpful for us to think of it in the inverse and say it is the distinctive mark of a godless man to be unthankful. By the way, when I say man, you know that I'm talking about men and women here, both genders. But it is the distinctive mark of a godless man to be unthankful. Is that so? In Romans 1:21. When Paul is writing about how humanity in a reckless, heedless pursuit of self-indulgence glorified not God and began to worship the creature more than the Creator, he says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. There's something about thankfulness. It has much more than just the idea of a thank you. But there's something about thankfulness that is much more profound and much more overarching, far-reaching. In the words of Paul that he wrote to 2 Timothy, he said, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be... And then here's this description of what men will be like in the last times. They will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. It hits on that scope. So the overflowing with thankfulness is not just something that we do. That's why if we approach it that way, on every Thanksgiving, we kind of look back and say, we should have done better. I didn't get done like last year. I purposed that I would be more thankful. And just once again, you know, I'm arriving at another Thanksgiving, and I just have this sense within me that I'm not as thankful as I should be, and so on. I'd like to put this in a different context this morning by saying that overflowing with thankfulness, being the way Paul wrote to the Colossians here, that they should be abounding therein with thanksgiving, is not just something that we can do, but overflowing with thankfulness flows out of your union with Christ. Since I was once alienated or separated from God, but am now reconciled and united with Christ, since I was once an enemy of God, but am now reconciled and am His friend through a union, my union with Christ, and since I was once doing wicked deeds, but I now, and think again here within Colossians, mortify therefore the works of the flesh. He says, you're not like you used to be. And since you're now no longer like you used to be, I mean, isn't it, and I'll use this word, I think I'm pronouncing it right, it's incongruous. I always look at Brother Elmer when it comes to pronunciation because he knows how to pronounce these words. Am I saying that right, Elmer? But the idea is, it's out of character. You know, if we're going through our lives in this culture in which we live, and if people interact with us, or I'll say bump into us, and what overflows is part of our own lives, it's out of character. I mean, to live a life that's overflowing with thankfulness is to live a life that is the outcome of your union with Christ. See, it's not something we do, it's something we are. Amen. The dynamic of thankfulness flowing from you is the dynamic of the gospel working within you. Purposeful, and I can't get now who it was that I'm quoting here. I should have paid better attention. But I have this quote: purposeful, perpetual thanksgiving is absolutely central to abundant Christian living. Let me say that again. Purposeful, perpetual thanksgiving is absolutely central to abundant Christian living. Okay, now, we looked here about the idea of overflowing. Now let's move to natural gratitude versus gracious gratitude. And I'll start by asking this question. Can only Christians be thankful? The natural man's heart, by natural I mean the unconverted, the natural man's heart is grateful for the benefits he receives, I would say. Grateful for the benefits he receives from natural pleasures and enjoyments. Sunny days, good friends, good food, good times. You know, there's lots of things that even a natural man will be. And it still puzzles me. Yeah, we have Thanksgiving Day, and the president declares Thanksgiving Day, and so it's a national holiday. We don't go to work. We gather together in families, and we eat good food and so on. So we know that this is a time of being thankful to Almighty God, because He is our great benefactor. He's the one who provides all of these things. But if you don't believe in God, and you figure that that life is just this series of chances, and we're just rumbling and bumbling along, and whatever kind of happens, then who do you thank? I'm not quite sure how that works. I think it's a good holiday, and it's good to be off from work, and it's nice to sit down with friends. But you see what I'm trying to say is there still is that natural human capacity to have welling up with your heart good vibes, you know, good feelings, this general gratefulness that these circumstances are so pleasant, even if we don't know for sure whom to thank for them. But remember that this natural gratitude is arising from tangible pleasures and enjoyments. By comparison, gracious gratitude is the thankfulness that overflows the life of a Christian, arising from his union with Christ. And the difference is this: natural gratitude starts with the things we enjoy. We're grateful for all of these good things. And gracious gratitude starts with God, from whom come all the things that we enjoy, good or bad. Pleasurable and difficult. Gracious gratitude recognizes the goodness of God regardless of the pleasures and enjoyments. Yet this is the distinguishing mark. We talked about distinguishing marks. The mark of a godless man is unthankfulness, ungratefulness. The distinguishing mark of a Christian is that his thankful attitude is not dependent on natural pleasures and enjoyments. Now, it is that we on Thanksgiving, I mean, we are thankful that the pumpkin pie turned out well. You know what, and that everyone made it to the safely to the event, and so on. This is all part of Thanksgiving, but our Thanksgiving does not arise from those natural pleasures. They arise from the union we have with Christ. That is, that and from that union arises meaning in life. It's that union that makes pleasurable beyond just eating the pumpkin pie, the time that we spend together and I thought about maybe we could have entitled this message "How to Eat Pumpkin Pie Spiritually." You know what I mean? Does it make sense what I'm trying to say? Now, it's one thing to eat pumpkin pie, how the natural man eats pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving and is grateful and is happy because it tasted good. But you know, the next day, the pie is all gone. But gracious gratitude is how to eat pumpkin pie and be grateful beyond just how good the pie tastes. So, if the distinguishing mark of a Christian is that his thankful attitude is not dependent on natural pleasures and enjoyments, it follows then that when others bump into us, you and I, we just overflow with the blessings that comes from our union with Christ. And if our relationship is so shallow that it's based just on pleasurable things. I look out the and by the way, I'm not in any way denigrating the comments that Brother Joe made this morning about what a lovely day it is out there. It is, praise the Lord. Let's enjoy this sunshine. But there are people in this life that they will get up on a morning like this. The sun is shining and it will bring sunshine into their lives and it will bring some degree of pleasure and of well-being. Because the sun is shining, and somehow that helps lifts them out of the gloom of the despondency and of the meaninglessness of their lives. And then if tomorrow the sun does not rise and it's a gloomy day, they will be gloomy because they don't have the sunshine. Whereas tomorrow, if it's a gloomy day tomorrow, the sun will be shining in our hearts, is what I'm trying to communicate. You understand what I'm trying to say. Because it's not dependent upon just these pleasant and enjoyable circumstances. Because our thankfulness, our view of life, how we enjoy the things that we meet with every day, is rising from our union with Christ. And when others bump into us and we overflow, if all those that bump into us receive is more of the same, shame on us. Overflowing with thankfulness, abounding therein with thanksgiving, is that man and woman who has a relationship with Christ, who is in union with Christ, who is walking through their days and just overflows with this understanding that it's all in the hands of God. And it doesn't matter if the sun's shining or if it's gloomy or if the pumpkin pie flopped or if it turned out well. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Let's then go to the fruit of our lips. So, how is gracious gratitude expressed? I have three different thoughts. There would be many more. The one is praise to God. Second, we give thanks for God's provision. And then third, the attitude that overflows from our lives when others bump us. These are ways that gracious gratitude is expressed. First, let's think about praising God. The Bible is full of examples about praising God. Read the Psalms. Just praise and worship, and sing them. Okay, God is praised in heaven. You already know this. It does us good to remind ourselves again. The 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O God Almighty, which are and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." That's Revelation 11. So in heaven already, in heaven now, and in heaven in the future, praise will be given. This is part of our gracious gratitude. Praise will be expressed to God. We will praise God. And similarly, the final reference to the offering of praise is also set in heaven. Revelation 19, verses 5 and 6. "And a voice came out from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." And the joyful notes of praise for who he is and thankfulness for what he has done will resound through heaven when Christ returns. I think essentially it's what he's saying here. And so there's a sense in which our earthly singing, like we did here this morning, is a precursor to that heavenly praise. And it's while we sat here this morning and just thoroughly enjoyed lifting our hearts and lifting our voices in praise, it's probably a poor comparison to what it will be like in heaven. But I settle for what we have here on earth for the time being. So praise the Lord for the time we spent together here this morning. Okay, so praise God is one of the way that the fruit of our lips is to praise God. And then there's also giving of thanks for God's provision. Give us this day our daily bread. The disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. Part of that prayer was, give us this day our daily bread. And in the next few moments here, I want to emphasize something and just lay down a teaching just to make sure we don't forget. I've carried this note along in my Bible for a long time, just aching for the right chance to kind of say, it is good to thank the Lord before we eat a meal. And there's a reason that we do that. And so saying grace refers to the practice of thanking God for the food before and sometimes after a meal. In Acts 27, the Apostle Paul prayed before he ate. There are numerous references when Jesus prayed before he ate. Twice before feeding the thousands, and he lifted up the bread and he thanked God. In Emmaus, that evening when the disciples walked with someone, that stranger, and then once they were gathered, they asked him in, and the text says that Jesus took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and began to give it to them, and they recognized him when he broke the bread. At communion, and when he had given thanks. So let us continue this biblical pattern. This is a part of the fruit of our lips, and I think maybe Thanksgiving Day is a real good time to kind of emphasize this, that this is it's much more than a tradition, it's much more than Stillhebe, it's much more than just repeating certain words, but one of the real good times throughout that we talked this morning about praying continually. The church was praying. What does it mean to pray continually? Well, whatever that all meant, one of the real good times to kind of acknowledge again our dependence on God is every time we sit down to eat, because we seem to do that continually. And I mean continually in the sense that we don't stop. Just because you ate this morning doesn't mean that you will now not continue eating. You're going to eat continually, or you will starve. And so maybe this is why this is a biblical pattern, because it's so continual to always thank God and acknowledge again our dependence upon Him. And of course, the final point here is that, and I don't think I have to say it again, I've already said it two or three times, that the fruit of our lips is more than the words that we mouth, but it's the actions that we take that arise from our union with Christ. And when others bump into us, we should overflow with gracious gratitude. Should be known to be the kind of people that, you know, why is it? And I look out here at this congregation here, and I know that there are people who have, because you've told me this, there are people who come to you to talk about the troubles that they have in their lives. You know, why is it that why don't they go to someone who, when you bump into them, they are just going to spout with similar troubles? I know exactly what you mean, because everything is going wrong in my life. No, people will come and bump into those who are overflowing with gracious gratitude, who understand that it's not just in the good things that God gives us that we find meaning and purpose in life, but it's in understanding that God gives us good things and bad, and that they are all from the providential hand of God. And when our culture finds that there are people who have within them this ability, this capacity, shouldn't say ability, this capacity, because of their union with Christ, to walk through life and overflow with an understanding of how God is working and a purpose and how it brings purpose and meaning, even in the gloomy days, they will bump into you intentionally. And I'll close with two verses. The one I've already quoted, but let me also add this quote this verse that has been quoted by you a number of times this morning. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I took special note this morning. And listen, and I think every time I heard it quoted, it was quoted correctly. It isn't always. Sometimes people say, for everything give thanks. Is that really what? No, it's not for everything give thanks, but in everything give thanks. Because you see, overflowing with thankfulness is not something we do, it's something we are. And so in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Shall we bow in prayer? Dear Lord, we are reminded again now of how we are dependent upon You. And just the way we just thank You now for the way that our natural hunger drives us to eat, and that You have laid this pattern for us that we should, at that point, when we sit down to eat, we should bow our heads and acknowledge our dependence upon You by thanking You for that which You've provided. And we thank You for this continual reminder that You give to us. And we pray now for this congregation, we pray for all of us, that as we walk through our lives, as we interact with those that we bump shoulders with, and as we meet and discuss with them the affairs of this life, what it's like to live here on this earth in this point in time in our generation, that we could overflow with thankfulness, and somehow others would see that being thankful is much more than just natural gratitude for the pleasurable things that come from Your hand and from Your bounty. But to be thankful is to have a union with you, to be living in, to be reconciled to you, even though we were alienated, even though we were enemies, to be at peace once again and to have purpose and meaning in our lives, because you have now filled our hearts with the capacity to deal with everything that you bring to our lives, because it's for our good and for our benefit. So we pray, Lord, on this Thanksgiving Day, if you tarry until Thursday, and if we gather together with friends and family, and as we sit down to sumptuous meals, we pray that you would help us to look beyond just the food and the pleasure of being gathered with family and friends, but help us to overflow with the thankfulness that comes from having a union with you in our hearts. We pray this in the name of Jesus for everyone that is here this morning. Amen.